Support for this KQED podcast comes from Walmart Labs, based in Silicon Valley. Powered by its own open source technology, Walmart Labs engineers code in an agile DevOps environment. Learn more about engineering and big data positions at walmartlabs.com.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Newsweek once called the San Francisco comedy troupe Duckspruce Breath Mystery Theater an American Monty Python for its unique brand of sketch comedy, satire, and theatrics, and the group regularly contributed to NPR's All Things Considered during the 1980s. Many of you may remember. A couple of the group's members, in fact, went on to create the Misinfertainment series, Dr. Science, which had a 25-year run on hundreds of NPR stations. And we're going to talk with them this half hour about their comedic legacy, and they have an upcoming reunion show and all kinds of things going on. In fact, they also have roots here in San Francisco. Used to be at the Cannery, and some of you may remember Ghirardelli Square in the early years, Fisherman's Wharf. Let's not get waxed too much nostalgically here, get too teary-eyed, but let me tell you who's with us. We have Jim Turner, you may remember, Randy of the Redwoods. Jim, welcome to the program. Good to have you.
Thank you.
And Merle Kessler, also known as Ian Scholes, who's here with us in studio as well. Welcome. Mm-hmm. And Dan Coffey, who was Dr. Science.
That's me.
A man with a master's degree who knows more than the rest of you.
That's right.
But I have a PhD. I may know more than you, Dr. Science.
who knows?
That was his old signature thing. Anyway, glad to have you all aboard here. And I kept thinking about the roots that you guys have. It even goes back to the Herb Cain Blues. That was doing, right?
That was me, yes.
Yeah. And we'll get probably a lot of memories from our listeners. We may get questions for Dr. Science, all sorts of things along those lines. But your real roots, we were talking about this a little before we went on air, Midwest, like me, right? Minnesota, Iowa.
Yeah.
So that's a particular brand of humor, isn't it?
Well, all the best people come from the Midwest.
We got together in Iowa City. We were all going to school there.
That's where it started, huh?
Yep.
Yeah. At University of Iowa. And what about 1970 what?
Five.
75.
75. That's when the Cliff Notes for Hamlet came out, right in that year, yeah?
That was the Was that the first show we did?
Yeah,
the first show we did.
February of 1975. And then we said, this is so much fun. Let's get out of town. And then we said, let's go someplace that's not in the Midwest.
And here you are.
Yep.
Well, it was a little more. We actually left town because it was our first year there. We were performing at this place called Gabe's, which is this really divey bar. And we did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday every week. And we had to write a whole new show, which was three sets of comedy every 2 weeks. And
that's a burden.
It really got to us.
Well, we didn't have to do that. That was the best part.
Right. We didn't understand how things work.
Our audience
but we
didn't
did.
Really
we
know
wrote,
what we were doing.
We wrote a whole new show every 2 weeks. And it was 50 cents to get into our show. And beers were 10 cents.
Well, I listened to your CD, and there's a lot of stuff on there. It makes you realize to some extent how ephemeral, a lot of comedy. I thought, Dondi? Dondi? Yeah. I'm going back in time to Judge Wapner?
He's still alive, by the way, Judge
Wapner.
Is he actually?
Yeah, what's great about that Dondi joke is it's about a movie, Gandhi, which was made 40 years ago, referring to a cartoon character from the World War II, an Italian orphan. All those references.
Well, it was also a really bad movie with David Janssen.
It was a cartoon. It was a nationally syndicated
Nationally syndicated cartoon. But all those references would be lost on anyone today.
Well, they were kind of lost then even.
Yes, they were lost, really.
Even the bit you did about Cousteau. I was thinking, some of my younger listeners wouldn't know Cousteau from...
No. But nobody knows anything anymore, so that
makes, it's okay.
That's a problem for comedy, isn't it?
Well, it is. There's not much of a common base of things, unless it's Donald Trump that can make jokes.
Well, especially often political comedy. I've done shows with a lot of political comics, and they say, younger audiences don't necessarily stay up with the news, or if they do, they don't get all the references, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the work you guys have done. I thought we'd hear, in fact, this is from Duck's Breath, How Business Works.
And now, the opinions of Ian Scholes.
I never taught economics at Harvard, but I can explain the stock market crash in terms even a 3-year-old can understand. So bring that 3-year-old over here when I'm done. He can explain it to you, okay? Okay, say I got a company, Scholes Co., the company with the heart that I started with money I stole from my mother's purse. What does Scholes Co. make? We make sarcastic comments, snide remarks on the side of the mouth, and those little rubber rings in the mouth of blenders. Well, there's a sudden demand for crude sneering, and I can't keep up. That means I gotta expand. That means underpaid labor. That means capital. That means I gotta go public. So now Scholes Co.'s on the big board. We got capitalist catchphrases and bulletin boards all over the Scholes Rose Cove building. Phrases like expand or die, and if you want credit, go to hell and back, and we're doing all right. But then Snippety Incorporated gets wind of how well we're doing. We're a threat. After all, they make vicious slander, unfounded libel, and the machines that stamp those little corrugations on bottle caps. Snippety decides to take me over. The CEO of Snippety lets it slip at the golf course. They want Shoals Cove. Rumor, I mean inside trading, spreads. My stock skyrockets for 6 months, then bam, I'm shoved out by Snippety, which hands me a $5 million check to compensate for my bitter loss at their capitalist gains. Speculators, sensing a reverse trend, invest in optimism-related commodities, like things that contain the color red. Red becomes a fashion statement. Television tells us we're feeling good about ourselves again. Brokers give themselves business tips, hand themselves a lecture fee, and take it off their taxes. Financiers buy entire city blocks, build worthless restaurants and hyper-priced places to live, lose a fortune, then write off a mega fortune. What does that company make? Who cares? We only need to own it for a millisecond on the green screen, then it's ours for tax purposes. Life is beautiful. Life is a bubble. Hey, what happened to the bubble? It burst, pal. I gotta go.
Well, that one holds up.
It does.
Yeah. And how'd you learn how to talk that fast?
Well, that was a bad habit that sort of, you know. Well, it's funny because a couple years ago.
Scholes, otherwise known as Merle Kessler.
Yeah, right. I was trying to sell some more stuff, you know, some more commentaries. And I won't say what program it was, but I was reading it on the telephone for them. And they told me, you know, you're talking too fast. Because it used to be like a thing that we, you know, boy, that's great. You can talk that fast. And also they're like, no, I don't want to hear you talk that fast. So it's, you know, it's become not a good thing anymore.
Well, you could do commercials.
It was a trick.
You have to get in all the material, you know, these. Who was the guy, in fact?
It was for Federal Express. Matter of fact, I got a job once from somebody who thought I was him and got sort of mad when I showed up.
Well, a lot of this stuff. I mean, you did that nude descending a staircase and the used car thing. I mean, these do last. These do endure.
Well, yeah, a lot of these based on our common education.
Yeah, you got to have gone to college to get some of that stuff. Yeah, that's our Western European heritage.
Well, there's a second cut on the CD. I don't think we have it, but where you talk about existentialism and all these kind of academic things and go through them very quickly. A lot of this is parody. A lot of this is real, what I call satire. In fact, let's hear another bit. Let's get you do a mock commercial for a travel company.
You know, vacation season is upon us once more, so keep us in mind when making your vacation plans. Hi, I'm Vern Olufsen from Fargo GoFar Travel Brokers. Why not go for broke this year? Mexico, land of enchantment. Oh, wait, that's New Mexico. We don't care if you go there, but Mexico is where we have the good deal for you. You buy our package and receive absolutely free the Fargo GoFar Travel Broker Mexican Phrasebook and Language Tapes. You'll learn these handy phrases.
Boy, these margaritas pack a wallop.
Yo soy un hombre sincero.
Say, is there any place to get a pizza around here?
¿Sabe en cuál iglesia son los santos?
Hot enough for ya?
Una cuarta con dos camas.
No thanks, I'll carry my own luggage.
No gracias, no tengo dinero.
When is this building going to be finished?
No señor, ella es mi esposa.
Is this food as hot as they say?
Tengo mucho dolor en mi cabeza.
Do you have any of these serapis in plaid?
La capital es Edinburgh.
If you're ever in Fargo, give me a call.
Mi casa es su casa.
So keep our number handy when you're calling for reservations. We're in the yellow pages under G. Go Far Travel Brokers. Remember our motto, hotel, motel, plane, or car. Go Far with Go Far. Fargo Go Far Travel Brokers. We're quite the deal.
Theater. Where did that bit come from? You remember
AQED. We recorded it right here.
Really?
With either Monty or Howard, probably, as the engineer. KQED was a funky little place back then.
Back in the old building.
Yeah.
You were at KGO, I think, back when that was.
I was, yes. Yeah. And that old building, by the way, I don't even know what's happened to it, but this building has been
here for as long as I've been here.
Linus Pauling was in the next room when I was there once recording. There was Linus Pauling with his little beret.
An opportunity to speak about science with him?
I was afraid to talk to him.
He would have just asked you to take more vitamin C.
Yeah.
Where did Dr. Science come from, by the way?
Dr. Science came from Merle and I came to KQED to horse around to see if we could come up with a daily feature. And Al Holson, the general manager, said, well, I won't pay you anything, but I won't charge you to use the equipment. And so we came in here and horsed around and came up with Dr. Science. It was called Mr. Science back then. And it started to resonate with the audience.
Yeah, we made up our own questions, and then people started sending in questions.
So yeah, maybe we'll give opportunity to have our listeners ask questions of Dr.
Sure,
Science.
Sure.
Where did Randy of the Redwoods come from?
That came from me when I was back in Iowa City. One night I got on stage. We did a big sort of variety show, not as Duck's Breath. And I said, I'm going to be Jim Turner singing 9 songs. And I didn't sing, and I didn't play guitar, but I took a guitar up on stage. And I thought that just being in the moment, I'd be able to make up some funny songs, and I didn't. And it was horrible. It was a horrible, but it was a funny idea that I really tried to commit to, and it was awful. Then we got to San Francisco, and we needed a bit. And I think Merle was the one who said, hey, remember that thing you did with the guitar?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Just do a folk singer. And I didn't really have anything. And then Barry the Fish Melton, we were on a bill
that's
with
right.
him one night at
yeah.
the Resch House in Mill Valley. And he's like a big deal lawyer now. He's really great. And he was so out there, and he stood on a chair in the Resch House. His head was up in the lights, literally in the lights, and he was standing on this chair singing a song. And I thought, man, he's really stoned, or he's really. And I came back, and I went, "That's what I'm going to do, my folk singer guy, and that's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be that." And I totally ripped my act off from him. And then Randy was a guy I went to high school with who always just said the most audacious, crazy things.
This is Randy with 2 E's,
but yeah, but that's because I was on a bike trip up by the Eel River, and
like
I saw
river,
eel. Yeah. And so one time when I was doing Randy, I said, "That's with 2 E's, like the river," and nobody ever knew what it meant, but it was the Eel River.
And where did Ian Schultz come out of, Merle Kessler?
Well, I came out. I was reading. I remember. I think it was back in the day when they had like all these social critics, like, you know, there's Hunter Thompson and like Esquire magazine and Rolling
Never
Stone.
Heard Hunter called a social critic before, but that'll,
no,
that'll
sort of what he
that'll
was.
Fit. Yeah.
Yeah. But he was but anyway, there was all these people that would write about things, but basically they're just writing about themselves. So I wanted to make fun of that, and then it became this thing making fun of that, and it became an actual thing. So.
Almost sounds like a British kind of high tone name.
Well, yeah, I wanted a pretentious name, you know, the Schultz, and it's also an anagram. I won't say what it's an anagram for, but you can spell it out and figure it.
Well, let me ask our listeners to join us. Memories of Duck's Breath, the Mystery Theater, or questions for Dr. Science, questions for Randy the Redwoods or Ian Schultz, or just some memories you cherish. Anything you'd like to bring to the fore here, we do welcome your involvement. This is participation time, and you
and
can join us.
Memories don't have to be of us particularly. I mean, yeah. If they have a nice memory they want to share with us, that'd be great.
Well,
or old scores to settle.
Yes.
Yeah, those
all
are nice
stuff.
Addendums. Thank you, gentlemen. Let me give out the toll-free number. And I'm glad that Monty and Howard were both mentioned here. You give them their props. I like that. These are guys behind the scenes like Danny Bringer who bring you these programs every day and bring you so much richness, we hope. Our toll-free number and light, 866-733-6786 is the number to call. You can join us now at that number. Again, 866-733-6786. And other ways to join us, email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Here's a question from William for Jim Turner. Will Mr. Dalzell make an appearance at the farewell show? And how about Mr. Taljars? Yeah, Taljars.
Oh, no. Sterling Dalzell will not be there, unfortunately, though I would love it. Sterling Dalzell was a character that I came up with in 1980 after the big Reagan revolution and all the conservatives came in, and he was a crazy guy who lived in a garage and had conspiracy theories, and he was really conservative, and then he realized that he screwed up. He should have ran for an office. So he was now running for an office after the election, and he was trying to convince people to just, well, let's take it back. Let's, you know, get out the polling booth. And he had a really deranged message, and I got to give this really fun
impression. That's really Donald Trump now.
Well, kind of, except he didn't have any money.
How prescient of you, yeah.
Yeah, so Sterling should make a comeback. And Mr. Taljars was our parody of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood years before before that guy did it on the radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, oh, 5 years before Eddie Murphy. And ours was really good, and it was deranged.
It was very funny.
So people, I'm going to go to some more comments and go to our listeners who are calling in, but I'm sure people would be interested in knowing, what are you guys up to now? What do you do now?
I live in Thailand. I live in Chiang Mai,
really?
Thailand,
yeah.
In northern Thailand.
How long have you been in Thailand?
3 years.
And why Thailand?
Cheap.
Okay. So how often do you get to the States?
This is 3 years ago, by the way. Yeah, 3 years ago I came here. I lived in South America for a year, too, in Paraguay. And that is a really weird place to live.
Very strange place. Mm-hmm. A lot of ex-Nazis, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. Really? Didn't give Paraguay a bad name here, but it's true. Jim Turner, what are you up to?
I live in Los Angeles. I moved to New York a long time ago, and then I moved to Los Angeles. I had a job in New York doing Randy on MTV. They ran him for president. And then I moved to Los Angeles when that ran its course. And I live down there. I'm an actor and writer and have, you know, other bunch of junk I do.
Still, as they say, in the business, huh?
Yeah.
He's got a comedy group down there.
I have a comedy group called Two-Headed Dog.
That's great.
And, yeah.
And Merle?
I'm still here. I live in Oakland, and I come to KQED like every other week to record things. I still do Ian Scholes. I also work for a show on KLW called Philosophy Talk, and I do pieces for that.
Oh, that's right. I've heard you on that. But now you're having a reunion, a final tour and everything. How do you make your material relevant? Because a lot of people who are – we talked about it before. It really is a challenge. With younger audiences.
We're mainly doing older pieces because, you know, it's like kind of like ZZ Top. If they show up, they won't. You want them to do Sharp Dressed Man. You don't want to hear a new song.
ZZ Top, he's the only one with a beard here, Dr. Science.
People want to hear the greatest hits.
And also, honestly, our stuff was never really, with the exception of Ian Scholes, our stuff was never really that relevant. It was really more, it was based on culture that happened when we were kids. You know, we were, don't you think?
We were the original narcissists, just talking about ourselves and pretending to.
Yeah, but you got to compare to Monty Python. That's a pretty high bar.
They're goofy, and we're goofy. I mean, that sort of thing. They never did, like, jokes about the Queen. They do a joke about Queen Elizabeth or the original Queen Elizabeth, but not about, you know.
Can I tell you something I just happened to read that I didn't know? I'm actually doing a book, and this came up in my research. Alan King, remember the storyteller,
stand-up
comic?
Yeah, worked with him.
He actually met the Queen, and she said to him, it's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. King. And he said, it's a pleasure to meet you, Mrs. Queen. You can't make that stuff up. It's so silly. It's funny. I don't know. Here's a listener writes, Ian Scholes comments at 5:35 a.m. weekend mornings on
That's
KQED
right.
continue to be prescient and cutting, if a little more relaxed in delivery. What's the story about how Mr. Kessler's creation, the true antecedent of Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, being hidden away at this time period?
I'm so bitter about all that I don't even know if I can talk about it on the air. No, I don't know. I have no control over that. You know, but I would like it to be a little bit later in the.
You are better. Yeah, you're not joking.
Yes, I do talk slower than I once did. That's because I have fewer teeth and I'm older.
Well, here's Jan who writes online, wow, first saw you guys when I volunteered at an international theater festival in Denver, 1981. How great to hear you again. Miss hearing Ian Scholes and Dr. Science regularly. You know more than we do. Okay.
Merle and I were just talking about that international theater festival.
That's right.
Because we were on a hotel floor with this giant, like,
collective
of theater people that lived together. They looked like they all
communal.
Slept with each other. Very communal. And it had a very
hippies,
like,
yeah.
erotic kind of. And then there was an argument between.
You're not a real artist.
You're no real artist. You don't know love. You don't know. All you know is hatred and revenge. And then we heard glasses breaking against the wall. 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
That's the kind of thing we. Yeah.
So.
Dan, do you speak Thai?
Now I do, yeah. I have a Thai girlfriend who doesn't speak English.
Oh,
so that's you want to learn a language.
That's harmony.
That's the fastest way to do it.
Well, bring in our callers. Let me go first to Nicasio. Stella, join us. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. I do remember you from the 70s and 80s. And speaking of where did names come from, I'm wondering where Duck's Breath Mystery Theater came from.
It was just a funny name to put on a poster because Dan and I, at our first show, we didn't really have a name. We weren't a group or anything. So trying to get people to come to the show, which was in a bar. And Dan had his poster said,
The
Iowa
Playwrights Ensemble. Because I thought that lofty name would get us art grants, maybe.
But Duck's Breath does get attention.
I put that as just a joke name, and then we sort of kept it.
You kept your ducks in a row, so to speak. Yeah.
So there's not much of a story, I'm afraid.
I'm so glad we're not the Iowa Playwrights Ensemble.
Me too. I know.
Oh, boy.
But we'd have a lot of grants now. I mean, you know.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you had played
I know
it that.
That.
Way, yeah. Let me thank Stella for the call. Go right to another caller in Sunnyvale. Andy, hi.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so lucky to grow up in the Bay Area in the 70s and 80s, and great memories of hanging out at Ghirardelli Square and Kennery Road. Do you guys remember the music box, the man?
The human jukebox.
He put in a coin and reel up the screen and blow his trumpet.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was a guy in a refrigerator box that he'd painted, and then he had a little window that he pulled up when he was on a rope lever. And
was that you?
Yeah, that wasn't me, but I tossed a few coins in there for sure. And then I also remember Stony Burke, Wavy Gravy, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, all those.
I'm Facebook friends with Stony Burke now for some reason.
And Wavy Gravy has a camp now for kids, actually.
Yes.
We should mention. Getting all kinds of memories here, just as I thought we would. Merle, you used to be known as the sneer artist. Where'd that come from?
Just from Ian Scholes, because he's so, contemptuous of everything and contemptible.
But you couldn't see it on the radio, alas. Just like they can't see you if you were sneering now. We wouldn't be able to see that, of course. Let me get another caller on here. We go to San Jose, and we welcome Dana, good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
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 I have a question for Dr. Science. I asked him this question many, many years ago. I'm sure he remembers what he told me.
Oh, yeah.
But my question was, Dr. Science, mm-hmm. why, when I put on my glasses, does the side of my head shrink in?
You should have never been prescribed glasses to begin with. You have a condition called shrinking head syndrome that any good optometrist would have been able to diagnose immediately. Did you buy your first glasses at Walmart?
I don't go to Walmart, I'm sorry.
Well, because Walmart was the big offender in that area for shrinking head syndrome. And in fact, that's caused them to close many an optometry department.
I guess that's it.
Okay. Yeah, that's it.
You got the answer, as you always do from Dr. Science.
A genetic disability, and it's not your fault. So stop beating up on yourself.
Two questions for Dr. Science from Raleigh. We know the speed of light, but what is the speed of dark? And speaking of dark, does dark matter?
Dark is Avogadro's number divided by Bernoulli's syndrome, which is another disease. Yeah.
That's also a number.
It's also a number, but I can't explain it to you over the air. Dark matters more than light, more than light. The forces of darkness have prevailed. And just look around in San Francisco and see, can you afford anything here?
By the way, those questions came from Raleigh, who is not a real scientist, from Durango, Colorado.
Oh, my gosh.
And here's Barney, who writes, as someone who grew up in Iowa City during the 1980s, I remember our late great theater teacher, Dr. Janie Yates from Iowa City High, having us do some skits by Duck's Breath Mystery Theater that I really enjoyed. I played Abe Lincoln waiting for a bus. Thanks for the years of comedy. And how dare you call Gabe's a dive bar? That's an insult to dive bars.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, the reason we couldn't – people ask us if we would come back to Gabe's to perform. But my answer to that was that one of us would die going up the back stairs for the load-in, which are – if you go on like Facebook and stuff, there are people talking about the back stairs at Gabe's as a – you haven't lived until you've done this in February.
Yeah.
Well, let me give a plug, by the way. You're going to be performing Thursday.
Tonight?
That's tonight at 8 p.m. at Palms in Winters, California, and tomorrow at 8 p.m. at Freight and Salvage.
Saturday.
It's Saturday. Yeah. Okay, good. Glad we corrected that. Mm-hmm.
And that's sold out.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
the one in Freight and Salvage. What about the one in Winters?
I believe that just sold out.
I think they're both sold out.
All right, so why am I plugging?
I don't know.
Well, because they say that there'll be some standing room at Freight and Salvage.
Well, let's get another caller. We go, John, to you. Hi. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Just a comment. It's great to hear these voices on the air again. I really have missed you guys individually and collectively, although listen to Philosophy Talk, so at least one of them. I was just curious. I just think that the brand of humor is so reminiscent of that era. I was always, in addition to you guys, also really thrilled with the Fire Sign Theater and groups like that. But I was wondering, there seems to be a voice missing, and I was wondering what's happening with Bill Howard, and is he going to be performing with you these nights? But it's great to hear your voices again.
Thank you.
Bill and Leon are both on their way to Winters to set up the show there.
We're all still alive, and we're all still in the show.
Well, he mentioned Fire Sign Theater. Could you talk? I'm looking at an email here from Jim who says, have your guests comment on the influence of Fire Sign Theater on their work.
It was very large. I mean, that was that kind of stoned humor and that kind of deliberate embracing absurdity. You know, not very many people embraced absurdity at the same level, poetic level, that Fire Sign Theater did.
Yeah, they were a huge influence on me. I just thought they were great. They still mm-hmm. do.
And Jim says, as I recall, Randy had frequent MTV spots. How did that come about?
The MTV thing? That was from they came to – a bunch of people at MTV came to see a Duck's Breath show at the Bottom Line in New York. And one of them was preparing a thing called the 20th Anniversary of the Summer of Love, 1987. And then they at a meeting, somebody said, what if that guy that we saw last week, Randy, what if he like hosts it? And so they asked me if I would come out and shoot a bunch of spots. And
boy, it shows timing, doesn't it?
And my girlfriend was from New York, and I had just sort of hooked up with this woman who I am now married to. And I said, oh, yeah, great. I'll go out and visit Lynn. And while I was there for 2 days, we drove all around New York City, shot 20 spots and a music video. And they ran them all the summer of 1987, and they were a huge hit. And then at the end of that, the two vice presidents at MTV asked me if I would run for president in 1988. And I'd run for president, a fake presidency, as Zippy in 1980. And I really wasn't up for it. I was like, oh, man, that was really hard.
Were you competing with Joe Bob? Joe Bob ran for president, too.
Joe Bob Briggs?
Yeah. The theater guy, I mean, yeah. The drive-in theater guy. We got seconds left here. Mike writes, wouldn't Dr. Science imply that he has a PhD? And then writes, remember...
No, that's his name.
Yeah, my first name is Doctor.
Doctor is his first name, right. Yeah. Remember attending fun shows at the Julia Morgan Theater featuring mm-hmm. Mr. Nifty and the Dancing Dogs, as well as questions to Mr. Science. Why are things tacky? Why are there only four of thermodynamics, and if you were traveling in a car at the speed of light and turn the lights on, what would happen? Well, those are questions that only Dr. Science can obviously answer. Gentlemen, it's been a real delight to have you back
thank
here.
You.
And this
you.
Is the final tour, right?
This is it.
This is the last roundup.
Saturday will be our last show.
And all tacky will disappear after this show.
Well, Jim Turner, Merle yeah. Kessler, Dan Coffey, thank you so much for being with us. Good luck. Onward, upward. And Jim Turner was Randy of the Redwoods, Merle Kessler, Ian Scholes, and Dan Coffey, Dr. Science.
That's me.
And we are here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeated 10 to 11 in the evening. We certainly remind you that you can always let us know what you think about what you hear on Forum or what you would like to hear on Forum by emailing us, forum@kqed.org. And Forum is produced by Irene Noguchi, Tina Larberg, and Susan Britton. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our engagement producer is Amanda Stupai, with online support from David Marks, and senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our interns are LaToya Tools and Jeremy Siegel. I'll be back with you if all goes according to plan on Monday. Thank you for being a part of this morning's program. Have a good weekend. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and the Bernard Osher Foundation, supporting higher education and the arts.